Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Hello and welcome to episode 56 of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday the 8th of December. Thank you for joining us as always. So let's let you know what we've got on this edition of the show. Well, Jez and Craig join me as always as we take a look through the news and rumours for both Walt Disney World and Disneyland Paris from the past few weeks. And then we're going to delve into our listener email bag as we've got a load of emails that we really need to catch up on. We're going to share those emails with you and give you some of our answers. And that is pretty much this edition of the show. So without any further ado, let's get on with this edition of the Disney Brit Podcast.
Pal, it's me, Mickey. I wanted to call and wish you a Merry Christmas.
Hello and welcome to the news and rumours for this edition of the show. And joining me, as always, are my intrepid explorers who have managed to, well, since we've last spoken to you, managed to withstand snow, wind, ice, you lot. Cheers.
Hello, Disney pop people. Hello, Adam.
And Craig, who I think is still buried under it.
I've still got quite a bit. Hello, everyone. Hello, Jazz. Hello, Adam.
And you'll be pleased to know that we really do brave absolutely everything to do this for you guys. Craig's all right. He's in his nice warm house. The radiator in my studio has gone bust, so I'm currently recording this sat underneath a duvet. Just has got heating problems as well. So he may actually die of hypothermia during the recording of this show. Woo-hoo! So if he goes quiet, it's all fine, because I'm allowed to have his iPod Touch. Right, okay, the news really for Disney World and Disneyland Paris is a bit rubbish at the moment, due purely for the fact that it's nearly Christmas and they're not going to be doing a huge amount. But we have got some news which we're going to go through with you. So let's start off then in Walt Disney World. I'll start off with Craig and some information about Mouse Gear.
Oh, this is one of my favourite shops, probably one of yours too, because it sells all those retro rubbish things that you seem to buy, Adam. But Mouse Gear has unveiled a completely new store layout. Now, this increases both the merchandise space and the checkout efficiency, or so they say on the second part. Now, the old registers, which ran along the back, have now been removed and replaced with some more merchandise shop space. And the tills have been relocated using the Magic Kingdom Emporium design of a small group of registers fed by kind of a single line. Now, most of the merchandise has been moved into new locations, and the retro Epcot T-shirts, which Adam probably has all of, now have a very prominent display right in the centre of the store. There's lots of pictures on the internet if you want to go and have a look. But, you know, nice of them to overhaul it and have a look round and sell more stuff, because they like to sell stuff. But it's quite nice, because none of the pictures have actually got that bear in it, which I'm quite impressed with.
Yeah, definitely Disney bear, bless him. I love Mouse Gear. It's my favourite store. And you're right, the Epcot retro T-shirts are fantastic. The problem is, all the ones I really like, every time I've been into Mouse Gear, they've been out of stock of the size that I need. So I'm not able to buy any. But I did get my retro Mr. Toad's Wild Ride t-shirt last time, so I'm quite happy with that. But I think the biggest thing about this overhaul, which is so needed, the problem you had with Mouse Gear is you had like a bank of tills across one wall, and you had to queue at individual tills, and that meant that there were, you know, 10, 15, I can't know how many tills there were, queues of people, whereas now they've moved all of the tills to one end, and you now get one queue to go to all of the different tills, which I personally think is a much better idea.
Yes, yes, it is.
The hypothermia is already kicking in. He can only manage two words at a time. So Mouse Gear's had its makeover, which is good. Nice to see. I look forward to going in there and seeing that again. Right, staying in Walt Disney World and jumping on the monorail, you'll be pleased to know you can now see out of the monorail windows much better than you used to be able to, because it seems the monorail have lost all of their the decals that were on the windows. The balloons have gone. All those celebratory elements have all completely disappeared, taking the fleet back to their original state. The only difference is that the Epcot monorails, two of the Epcot monorails, which are the Tron rails, are still Tron made over. But the rest of them have now gone back to retro, ordinary monorails. What do we think of this? You know, it's been a while, really, since all of the monorails have been in this sort of neutral state. Is it a good thing to see?
I don't know. I like the Tron ones, so they're still there, so I'm happy with that.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I think I really like the Tron ones. I don't really mind too much. I didn't really like all the balloons on the windows because it just spoiled my view out. But I don't mind. I quite like the Tron one. What I didn't want is them to do all kind of differenty, like a Tangled one and all the rest of it with their hair going all the way down the side.
Oh, that would be cool.
It'd be a bit too much. But the Tron, I think the Tron one fits in with the concept of everything, so I quite like that. Just rubbing about Tron and I didn't get to go and see Premiere, thanks.
But don't worry, because you're going to get to go and see something else very, very soon.
I am, yes.
Well, shall we tell everybody what we're doing?
Yeah, go on.
This Sunday, Craig and myself are going to see a preview screening of Tangled, which doesn't come out in the UK until the 28th of January, and we're going to get to go on Sunday. So we're very excited. We invited Juz, but he says he's not coming. Oh, but that might be someone ringing to say he can now go. So that'll be absolutely
impossible. Whose phone's that?
It's not mine.
Dunks as always.
Oh, dunks as always. Can you? It's never mind. But I'm really pleased these monorails have gone back to sort of their original plain self, because I think we got to the point where people were getting a bit sick of it. I think Disneyland Paris and Walt Disney World, where people were getting sick of them having to do something to the castle all of the time, or them having to do something to the monorails, or they're always having to be a major theme. And I think it's quite nice that every now and again we actually go back to the standard, plain old, ordinary monorail, which is nice to see every now and again. So I'm quite pleased to see them back. But I'm also pleased to see they've still got the Tron rails going as well, which is good. Sticking with Juz and food, because it's always Juz that gets the food stuff, let's go to Mexico.
Okie kakokie. Just a bit of breaking news for you. Both Blizzard Beach and Spirit of O'Hara dinner show were cancelled today because of freezing weather.
Yes, so if you're listening to this, it may not be today, it may have been 2 days ago, or even 2 weeks ago.
But the point is, they have no idea of freezing weather.
No, that is very true, and it does make me laugh when it says that it's been cancelled due to freezing weather. I'm looking outside of my window right now, and I can just see a trip that is just white, because it's covered in ice. And yeah, it's like, it's 50 degrees here, we can't do it. It's
yeah, exactly.
You have to put a jumper on.
If you have to put long trousers on, everything stops.
But Carly River Rapids is the same. That's gone down to limited operating hours as well because of the cold weather.
But at the moment, if that was the case, you'd be sliding down on ice if it was over here. Yes. They'd enjoy it. Anyway, shall I get on my proper story now?
Yeah, you can get on your proper story.
Okay. Tequila del Lago, the temporary Mexican counter service restaurant, is now closed. It has been moved up from the promenade. The location opened in December 2009 to serve counter service Mexican food while the refurbishment of La Cantina de San Angel was underway. This area now is being used for an amazing, super duper, what we need, stroller park.
Hurrah! Hurrah! It's interesting to see this that's disappeared, because it's obviously the kiosk that's usually there for food and wine. Am I right in thinking that, Craig?
Yes.
But they kept it there for a year because they'd taken down what was going to be the Hacienda de San Angel, which we were putting in there. And there was no sort of outdoor food outlet other than what was inside, rather than the San Angel Inn. So they kept that there for the year. But as soon as Hacienda and that lot's opened, they've sort of got rid of this quick service location. Now, I was sort of trying to rack my brains as to why they may possibly have done this, because you think about some people might say, well, what's the point? They've already got another counter service location in there. But if I look at somewhere like the Golden Oak Outpost, which is right opposite Pecos Bills in Frontierland, they don't seem to have any issues with being able to get plenty of custom in. But my, I think the biggest thing, the reason I think it happened is that the Mexico Pavilion's food and wine kiosk, I think, is run by Disney, but yet the two restaurants, the counter service restaurant and the two sit-down restaurants in Mexico, are owned by outside sources. They're brought in. And I wonder whether there was a bit of a conflict in interest between Disney selling this and that company selling that. I forget the name of the company off the top of my head. And whether that may be the reason that it's disappeared.
Yes.
Just my thoughts, I don't know.
Yes.
Whatever you were rambling then, yes.
Yes.
Okay. You switched off, didn't you?
No. Me and Craig were just talking, yeah.
You put yourself out to a different call.
I phoned him, he answered, we had a chat.
Yeah. We were a bit of FaceTime, weren't we, Jazz?
Yeah, a bit of FaceTime.
I was eating my Domino's pizza left over from lunch. Yeah.
Which is probably just still sat on the plate from lunch when he didn't eat it. He's just gone, yeah, that'll do.
Exactly right.
Stand it, pick the fluff off it and just carried on. It's absolutely fine. Look at how cool is that? Did you have that delivered?
Yes, two for Tuesday.
How cruel is that? Craig moans about how he can't get out of his own driveway and can't get anywhere, but yet he's quite prepared for Domino's to try and deliver a pizza to his house and try and get in.
Yes, exactly right. Cool. If they can get in, then that's the benchmark for the postman, as far as I'm concerned. He can make... Martin, you can get here tomorrow.
And if he's not...
He's not getting his bottle of wine at Christmas.
Oh, he gave a postman a bottle of wine at Christmas.
Yeah, he's a good bloke, though, Martin. He's a nice postie.
Okay, we're getting completely off the point anyway. Let's go over to the American Adventure Pavilion because it's Craig's favourite attraction.
Well, it's one I probably don't go to that often. And I might go now because the American Heritage Gallery has reopened because it was closed for refurbishment since August. I didn't notice, sorry. But the new gallery highlights some of the most significant figures from American Adventure Show, complete with some biographies and museum artefacts. Now, the gallery is located to the right-hand side, I love this word, of the rotunda as you enter the American Adventure Pavilion. So that's a reason to go. If you haven't been in years, like I, next time you go, you can go and have a look at a nice cold museum in the hot.
Oh, there you go. Nice cold museum in the hot.
Look at a rotunda.
That's a great word, isn't it?
Isn't it? Rotunda. It's nearly like rotund, that, which is sort of rounded, so it's, it sort of fits. Nick, who does Destination Disney radio show with us, has actually been to see this and said it's a really, really good exhibition. Again, I think it's one of those things where it's very American, and you know, if you're not really into American history, maybe it's not going to be the same for you. But if you're not into American history, you're probably not going to go and see the American Adventure anyway. Right, heading over to the Magic Kingdom then, some New Year's Eve information for you. The Magic Kingdom's holding a New Year's Eve Tomorrowland Terrace party, which again is going to be their usual Wishes style dessert party. There are going to be several different seatings, two on the 30th and one on the 31st. Let you know what they are. The 30th of December, there's going to be one at 7:30 and one at 10:50. They're going to be age 10 plus, $39.99 and 3 to 9, $21.99. There is also going to be one on the 31st at 10:30 p.m. That, again, is going to be exactly the same price. But also, they're doing a dinner and dessert party. The dinner's going to include breads, fruits, cheeses, sushi, salad, Sid, tuna, beef, short ribs, and carved pork. And that will be followed with a range of desserts. Now, this is at 6:15 on December the 31st. Hold your breath. Age 10 plus is going to be $155.99.
Right.
And age 3 to 9 is going to be $76.99. Wow. So, is that just crazy money?
That's a bargain, that.
$155.
Yeah. I'll take the whole class.
The $39.99 and the $21.99 for the dessert party isn't so bad, but suddenly they've whacked, $110, $15 onto the dinner and dessert party, because you're going to get breads, fruit, cheese, sushi, salad, cheese, tuna and beef short ribs and pork.
Yeah, Craig will do that for a lot less at his house.
Iceland, here I come.
The difference is you can't get to Craig's house.
Yeah, that's true.
That's crazy money. But if you are interested in spending crazy money on a dessert party or the fireworks dessert party, you can do the usual 407WDW Dine. Right, there we go. Okay, let's go into the new year. And we're looking at some new information about the Flower and Garden Festival.
Yeah, it's just like one thing after another. When one thing stops, another thing's rattling ahead. So yeah, we're already plowing into 2011 here. And as Toy Story 3 finishes at our cinemas and is overtaken by other super films, they are moving their way across the Flower and Garden Festival. So the gang of them are going across there from March the 2nd to May the 15th. The popular Dixar—it's a mixture between Disney and Pixar. There for you,
Dixar.
Brought in slip.
This cold's getting to me. I'm going to be appearing as 8-foot topiaries across the Epcot front entrance, featuring a sandcastle and strawberry scented field. No prizes for guessing who's in that. So all the characters are going to be there, as well as I think they're doing Cars characters. Cars 2 characters is all going to be out there. It's time I've never been. It's time I've always wanted to go, because I always see the aftermath, you know, and they're a bit bedraggled about 2-3 months later. Winnie the Pooh's there, of course. So, yeah, it looks amazing. You've got Rapunzel. Although, to be honest, I'm a bit tangled out now, in the sense that... The height's been going on for about 6 months, though, hasn't it?
It has, but it's interesting having heard... You know, it's one of the biggest animated opening weekends for Disney. It's for a very long time. Although it's been sold very much in the marketing, and the way they've done the trailers, very much a more sort of DreamWorks-style, Shrek-style piece... It's completely nothing like that. It's hugely popular. It's had rave reviews from absolutely everybody. The music, I love the soundtrack. I think the music's fantastic. And, you know, I say I'm looking forward to seeing it. But do you not think, though, they're now beginning to use these, you know, like Tangled's had this sort of really big opening. Everyone sort of really enjoyed it. I think it's a brilliant film. Toy Story 3, you know, I would argue is the end of what is possibly the best trilogy ever made. And I think it's going to be around for a very, very long time. Are they not just being very clever by saying, right, we've got all these great new franchises that have had a massive impact and they're going to use them to bring people into the Flower Garden? Do they need to do that?
I think I feel sorry for the gardeners who have to make all these, because they're saying things like Woody, they're complaining is a very thin character and hard to actually build in the first place. So I feel sorry for them.
Craig, have you been to Flower Garden?
Nope. It's not saying appeals to me, to be honest with you, because there's nothing I can eat there.
You could try. You'd probably get thrown out. I've been on the Backstage Magic tour. They take you down to the sort of topiary area where they're building them all and growing them all ready for the new year. And they are absolutely amazing. Some of the stuff and how they actually build them, because they talked us through how they build each topiary, how they water it, the irrigation, all that sort of stuff, is just phenomenal. It really is. So for them to be, you know, building new stuff. And the interesting thing is, if they're building a Toy Story and a Rapunzel one, they would have had to have started these nearly a year ago. So even before they knew Rapunzel would be popular or Toy Story 3 would be popular, they were having to build these. So interesting to see, you know, what they look like when they come out.
Right. I think it doesn't like Craig's. I'm not a great gardener. I mean, if you look at my garden, I call it au naturel. It's just horrible. But, you know, and my flagging project's been going on for 5 years now, poor Tracy. But I think I just like the sound of this. I think to see all the characters, and now they've become more character-based of the broadening, I think it does appeal to people who probably go, normally go, nothing, as Craig does, there's nothing to eat, sounds a bit boring. You're going to go, well, actually, there's all the characters my kids love. And they'll probably enjoy it and the concept of it. I think it's a fantastic idea, and long may it continue to grow like this.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree. Right, Craig, I think you've got the biggest news out of all of us this week.
Have I? Well, it's food. It's massive, okay?
This is huge.
It's Disney-branded potato chips are now hitting the parks. Lay's have been kicked out, and now Epcot snack locations now offer them in place of the Lay's chips. $3 a bag, and they come in a number of different flavours, and I can tell you what they are. There is a blue bag called potato chips, which I can't work out what the flavour is, but it says kettle style. There are cheesy curls, there are tortilla chips, and there are barbecue potato chips. And none of them are going to taste as nice as my chocolate digestive and cup of tea that the current Mrs. Duncan has just brought in.
Oh, is she good? She did it while you were talking.
They're not even in Mickey Mouse head shapes?
No, they're
not like pom-pom bears, then?
No.
Oh, well, forget it then. I thought they were going to be like pom-pom bears. So I thought that'd be good.
I can't believe the current Mrs. Duncan managed to get in and disappear off, and we didn't even hear her.
Yeah, you can't hear because of Craig's breathing and panting.
Munching pizza.
Well, biscuits now, but pom-pom bears, they're only 10p a bag. These are $3 a bag.
Ooh, ouch. That's a lot of money.
So they've obviously just done by Lay's or something, but, you know, I don't know why. But there you go. There's no need.
Well, they cut out the middleman, don't they, to make their own crisps?
No, but they're not. They're doing it. They'll probably be doing it through Lay's. You actually increase the middleman.
But you know, imagine those of us that are real geeks might buy a packet of those crisps just so they can take the packet home and go, look, I had Disney crisps.
Yes, that's right.
I'd do that.
Yeah, no, you would.
Right, let's jump on a plane, fly over to Disneyland Paris. Got two pieces of news for you, neither of them concerning the actual parks themselves, but something you might be interested in, certainly if you're heading over to Paris anytime soon. And that is, there is a hotel in the centre of Paris that I'm just about to butcher the name of. It's the Hotel Plaza Athénée, which is in Paris. It's a five-star hotel. I've had a look at their website, and it's absolutely gorgeous. But what they're going to be doing is they're going to be creating magical windows. They're calling them the Magic Windows from Disneyland Paris. It's a bit like an advent calendar that's going to come to life. Whereas every day between December the 1st and 22nd at 5 p.m., there is going to be some brand new display of lights and sound, and a new prince and princess will be stepping out of the window to greet passers-by as they go past. It's between the 1st and the 22nd of December. Now, how exactly this is happening, we don't know. I've tried to find out some more information, but there doesn't seem to be anything around. Whether they're actual actors or whether it's animatronics or how they're doing this, I don't know. But do keep checking that out, because they're going to happen every day. It just sounds slightly dodgy, though, when you say there's a princess going to be stood in a window waving at passers-by, and just quite pleased this isn't in Amsterdam. So this is this new magic window that's going to be happening over there. It's on the Hotel Plaza Athénée, which is in the centre of Paris. And that's happening from the 1st to the 22nd December at 5:30 p.m. every single evening. The second bit of news is something that sounds quite exciting, but it's going to take a few years till it gets here. But it's certainly going to be something that I think is going to be very interesting for those who visit Disneyland Paris.
Yeah, there's a centre park type resort going to be built. We're going to say near Disneyland Paris because it's actually, you know, it's with them, but it's about 6 kilometres out. And they're looking at the same sort of thing as Centre Park, with a big geothermal lagoon, the dome, etc. Developed around 35,000 square metre lagoon itself. They're going to have these little villages and apartments, about just short of 2,000 apartments and cottages. So if you're used to the concept of Centre Parks, it sounds like exactly the same concept brought across. The clever thing, of course, is they made it inside, because they suddenly realised that if they have water over there, no one's ever going to go in it because it's freezing and they need to actually put something around it. I love the message is sort of like a harmony between man and nature. The downside of it... Oh, by the way, it's all green bush, by the way, so it's made of empty bottles and bin bags and things like that.
Bin bag hut,
where you're living and that kind of thing. But we're talking, it's going to be developed over 20 years. It's, they're not even start looking at building till 2015, which basically means I'm virtually dead, if not still not here. So, yes, it's a nice concept, but why do green things take so long? Build it out a bit better amount of concrete and use loads of petrol. It'll be up in a week.
Yeah, so the initial opening of this, or the initial idea, this is going to be 2015. I think they're going to begin building sometime next year or maybe the year after. And the biggest interesting thing from my point of view is, though, there's a company called Pierre Vacances in France who partly own the Centre Parks Resorts, which I absolutely love Centre Parks anyway. It's a great place to go. And they're going to be building this in conjunction with Disney. But there's a certain Mr. Joe Rohde who is heading up the design for the Disney Imagineers. This is the man behind Animal Kingdom. And he's very much involved in everything that's going to be going on here. They have got this indoor water park, which they've talked about, but they're also going to have one of these outdoor heated lagoons as well, from what we understand, that's going to be open all year round. A bit like you sort of get, is it in Iceland, like the volcanic lagoon sort of idea? There's apparently those ideas. But they're going to be basing each area upon this idea of different elements of nature. There's going to be all these different places you can stay in, things like tree houses and villas, and it's going to have its own village setting. It's going to be very much like the Centre Parks, but the next step. Does this sound like a sort of place you'd stay in?
I bet it's going to be expensive. That's my only problem.
Well, Centre Parks is expensive anyway.
That's why I don't go there. I can't afford it. It is ludicrously expensive for being in a forest miles away, and you've got to cycle in yourself.
It is crazy. I'm going for New Year, and I can tell you the price is absolutely crazy. Craig, is this the sort of place you take the kids?
No, I only want to go to Centre Parks when it actually is like the Truman Show and I live under a complete bubble.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Because it's not, it's a fake. It's only a little bit. It's under a bubble. I want to be under a whole bubble. No, if I'm going all the way near to Disneyland Paris, I want to be in a hotel near to it. I don't particularly want to be in Centre Parks. And it's going to cost a fortune. So okay. I don't want to be grumpy, but I think that, you know, if you're going that way, then I would spend my money on the actual hotel in a park just to walk right. there.
There we go. There is their response. I'd quite like to stay there, just wasn't Craig wouldn't. So it's just me staying on my own.
No, me and Craig are going in a bubble somewhere, apparently.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. You're going to float in a bubble somewhere. That's absolutely fine.
Like up.
Like up? What, you're going to have a dog?
Yeah. Don't need it. I've got Craig.
Yeah, that's close enough. Anyway, leave it there. Right, okay, there's the news and rumours for this week. Thank you very much for joining me, as always. And let's get on with the rest of the show. Woohoo!
Hi, my name is Becky Klein, and I'm the brand new director of the Walt Disney Archives, and I just wanted to give a little shout-out and a hi to the Disney Brit podcast crew. I wish you all well over there in the UK, and I wish you could be here with us tonight. We're having a wonderful time, but one of these days we'll all get together, but come and see us in the United States and come visit the archives.
Columbus Vacation Villas, Central Florida Vacation Home Rentals and Property Management Services. If you are looking for your perfect vacation villa, get in touch with this friendly family-run business, which will go out of their way to make sure your vacation of a lifetime is just that. If you already own a villa in Orlando, then let Columbus take care of everything whilst you are away, giving you complete peace of mind. Check out www.columbus-vacations.com and discover a new world.
It's been a long time since we did some listener emails, and we've had quite a few in from different people, so we thought we'd do a bit of a listener email segment for the second half of today's show. We're going to let you know a little bit about what's coming in the future on the podcast as well, because we've got some exciting bits and pieces to let you know about. Yeah.
He hasn't told us. Do we get a holiday?
Yeah, you get a holiday, yeah. I'll let you. Yeah. Anyway.
Centre Parks, here we come.
Centre Parks is where
we go. Has it got a bubble?
Yes, it's got a huge bubble, cool. And it's got a Domino's pizza, and it's got a nice, friendly postman called Martin.
Excellent.
Right, our first email comes from Craig, also known as BCL1973 on the forum.
Oh, he's a nasty piece of work.
I always want someone to go, hoorah, at the end of that, but then we'd be stealing somebody else's podcast, so we won't be doing that.
Who says that?
Oh, see, Tony doesn't listen to podcasts, does he? Who does that, Craig?
Oh, does that ask Mr. Newell, isn't it?
It's Mr. Newell and the WDW today.
Our good friend Mike. Hello, Mike.
It is.
Oh, who's got the mobile on?
No, someone's got the mobile on.
It's Craig again.
You know what? I do apologize. It was my phone ringing.
He's going through all the different phones through this episode.
No, it's because I didn't turn it off because I, you know, oh, well.
You know, in a little while you're going to hear this. As his owl flies into his microphone. It's not much else.
I got told off. I was a bit late because Kieran had his nativity play tonight. And I was kind of sitting in the second row and pretending to cast spells at him, and he was casting them back. And Debbie saw us and she smacked me so hard on the leg that I jumped up, and then all the parents looked at me.
And again, that's nothing new. It's the Dunkses again. It's like the Addams Family, isn't it? Them
Dunkses. I've got to keep his attention. Otherwise, poor lad will fall asleep. Anyway, well done, Kieran.
Right, anyway, back to Craig Lucas. He sent us an email.
Let's move on to the next one now.
Hope that's useful, Craig. Ho, 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 guys. It's very, very Christmassy, you see. We're considering Disneyland Paris for the last 2 weeks in August. 4 days and have absolutely no idea where to stay, etc. We've heard about the VIP passes and would consider staying somewhere that included them. Two adults and two kids, 7 and 2. We will be using Eurostar as I have a staff discount because I work for Virgin Trains. Any advice will be gratefully appreciated. Also, I've yet to commit to buying tickets for Mouse Meets, as I'm not sure the kids will get anything out of it, and Wifey could well end up walking around Birmingham with them. Can I just also thank you for all that you have done and continue to do for all of us. We consider you all family now in our house because you're always on in the car or the kitchen. Next time you're in Liverpool, I'll pay for a chippy tea and you can pick whatever you want.
That's tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the day after.
It's but P.S. I have a Merry Christmas and a wonderful 2011. So, several questions. First one then. So he's considering going to Disneyland Paris for the last 2 weeks in August. 4 days, 4 nights, I guess. No idea where to stay. So where are we considering him possibly staying for this?
In a hotel.
That's good.
In a bubble.
Depends how much cash you've got. If you want to spend it and go on Disney property, it's going to cost you. If you go out to sort of like Explorers or something like that down the strip, it's a lot cheaper and it's a nice little walk-in. So it's up to you. If you want the whole Disney experience, I'll go resort, and I would always go Newport or Fort Wilderness if you've got a car, or Cheyenne. I think got quite long list. They're the reasonable ones I think you could probably afford. If not, I'll go down to the strip with Explorers and Carriad and everything like that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to sort of go along with Juz's recommendations. I think if you wanted to stay in a Disney hotel and you're prepared to spend out the money that will include your tickets, then you're looking at possibly somewhere like Newport Bay or maybe even Hotel Cheyenne. I love the Cheyenne, and that's classed as one of sort of the value, but slightly more expensive than the bottom level of the value hotels. But you've got Newport's within sort of 10 minutes walking distance.
And it's gorgeous, isn't it?
It is gorgeous.
It's the Yacht and Beach Club in France.
Yeah. And also you've got Sequoia Lodge there, which is right next door, which is also lovely.
Is that how you say it, though?
Sequoia, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Craig. Craig pronounced it correctly.
He hasn't got a clue. But Cheyenne's lovely as well. If you're not wanting to spend out all that money, one thing to say is it includes your park tickets if you're staying in a Disney hotel. You also get, obviously, all the characters there. You get your breakfast thrown in. And what you can do with your breakfast is you can get your ticket for either the hotel breakfast, or you can also get breakfast in the park, or you can take it away to Cafe Mickey's and have a character breakfast as well. If you're staying in somewhere like Kyriad, which is the cheapest out of all of them usually, that's classed as a 2-star hotel, but the French system's slightly different, and I would class it really as a 3-star, if not slightly higher than that, but it's certainly a 3-star hotel. You've also got the Dream Castle, which is absolutely gorgeous. I stayed at the Dream Castle in October. That's well worth staying in. The breakfast is, it was like a kid in a sweet shop of breakfast. They had so much stuff. You've got the Magic Circus there as well. You've also got the Hotel Explorers. I've stayed in all other than the Magic Circus, and to be honest, I would stay in them all again. If they would let me, yeah. Because they're all fairly cheap to stay in with regards to staying in some of the other hotels. With regards to VIP passes, would consider staying somewhere that includes them. Nowhere includes VIP passes. The VIP passes you have to pay for on top. They come in at something like, if I remember rightly, it's about €80 per person for a VIP pass. Yes, it does get you to the front of the queues for the fast pass attractions as many times as you like during your stay. Oh no, for one day that is the €80. But personally, I wouldn't bother for 4 days. I don't think he needs it, does he? I don't know what you think. You don't know.
I was waiting for Craig to pounce in now.
Oh, yeah, no, okay, right. I would, let's go back, let's backtrack a bit.
Yeah, go on.
Just gone raffling on. I think that Craig might be surprised at how expensive it would be to go in August.
Yeah, that's true.
It is phenomenally expensive. For 4 days, you probably literally could not enough have 10 days in Florida. I know you got your flights and you don't get a discount on the flights, Craig, but just, you know, weigh that up, and the food and everything else is very expensive. I don't know why you two keep going about the Newport Bay. It's 10 minutes further walk on than Sequoia.
Yeah, but you've got to walk off all the food you've eaten.
Well, no, I don't think it's any different, because the Sequoia Lodge is the opposite side of the lake, so you've got to walk around the lake, whereas the Newport's at one end.
Fight.
But this, I think, you know, for the kids, they'd probably enjoy the Wild West one, to be honest
with you. Yeah,
Craig, I think you would.
The Wild West one.
We don't go to the Santa Fe, it's too far. So that the Wild West one is nice. Off property, I don't know, because you've got the little one as well. You're going to have the buggy. You might fancy pushing it along, but I would probably go on site.
That is a good point. With it being height of August and it being busy, you will have to get one of the pink buses. And certainly at night when they come back, the one bus serves the four hotels. And that could be difficult, making sure you all get on and make sure you all get on, not safely, but without getting squished. So that could be your only sort of drawback there. Moving on to the next question was about, he's not committed to buying tickets for Mouse Meets yet. He's not sure that the kids will get anything out of it. What do you reckon to that, Jules?
I think the kids had the best time out of the lot the last time, because we involved them a lot in everything we do, and they laugh, and we had certainly had quite a few kids, and they weren't running around, they sat and listened and everything. So no, it's up to you. If you, what you should do is either make a decision whether to either come on your Todd, because there's going to be quite a few people on the Todds anyway, and join up and have a laugh, or the kids, no, the kids were good as gold. It really a case of, it, once again, it's offsetting the cost. It's not going to be a cheaper weekend than, you know, but then again, a lot of us are staying in the Travelodge just outside of it, so.
Yeah, because it's certainly, you know, the way Mouse Meets is designed is it will involve the whole family in certain ways. Now, not everything is going to be suitable for everybody, and we, what we don't say is you turn up in the morning, you stay for the whole thing, and then you go home in the evening. It is you come to the bits you want to go to. You might want to clear off into Birmingham to do a bit of shopping here and there and do those bits and pieces. But we are going to have quizzes, there's going to be music stuff, there's going to be all sorts of bits and pieces that's going to go on. We've got, obviously, Disney karaoke coming back and things like that that's going to happen. We're going to get Craig to try and do the climb properly this time. So,
what do you mean? Better? It was fantastic last time we did it.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Thank you, Charles.
My ears have just stopped bleeding. So we're going to... It's up to you. It's totally up to you whether you want to or not. But it would be great to see you there, and there's certainly a lot of people there. I know some people are bringing their kids along, so we hope you're going to come along. And also your chippy tea. What are you having, boys?
Bad sausage and chips, me.
What are you having, Joss?
Well, I can have it every day because I work in Liverpool, so I'm just making a huge long list. I need to know really which chippy he's going to get from, and can he send the menu across so I can start picking what I want from Monday to Friday.
I'm going for minced beef, onion pie and chips and a pickled egg. Thank you very much. Right, so let's move on to our next question then, which is...
Oh,
I love them.
Oh.
Get to the point again. Pie, are you planning on buying Epic Mickey and will you be reviewing it? And that's from Barry. Question, yes, I am planning on buying it. I've got it. And will I be reviewing it? Yes, right now. Has anybody else played it?
Well, I bought it. I thought I bought it. And then PayPal jumped in and said you bought it from some dodgy bloke and stopped the money.
Yeah, so it hasn't that. Actually I thought turned... I sold it yet.
Yeah, it hasn't turned up yet. And it's from, well, Santa's asked me to get it on behalf of the children. So we won't be playing it until Christmas. And I do rebuy it from somewhere that's not dodgy.
Right, so let me give you a quick review on what I think of this. I've listened to several podcasters who've done reviews on it, and I've read websites that have done reviews, and they've all really had a downer on it. But all of the people that I've heard review it so far are those people who are real gamers. I'm not a gamer. I buy a few games every now and again. I switch my Wii on every now and again and have a play, and that's about it. And I'm really enjoying Epic Mickey. Now, I'm not saying that it isn't without its flaws, because it does have flaws now and again. But let me explain how the storyline works slightly. You've got an area, a place called the Wasteland, which Mickey, you see a whole video beforehand, and you find out how Mickey's dragged into Wasteland. And the Wasteland is where all of the characters that are forgotten about are sent to, basically. Any cartoon characters are sent to. Oswald lives there. Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, as does a load of other different characters. And Mickey goes exploring the Wasteland and basically sent on different quests. And you have individual little quests that you have to try and have a go at completing as you go through. But at the same time, you might have another quest before you finish the one you've just been given, etc. So there's loads of bits and pieces. The gameplay I really enjoy. The graphics are pretty good for a Wii. There are problems with camera control every now and again where... you move Mickey and the camera control isn't at the best angle to help you jump. So you might actually jump and then fall into some boiling paint thinner and it kills you. But if you sort of get over those nitty bitty things, I really like it. You go through different locations that are similar to what you would find in the park. So one of the first ones you go into is a sort of a version of It's a Small World, and they've got some creepy sort of music, and they've got this paint thinner dark looking river and these boats, and you have this the creepy It's a Small World music, which is fantastic. And then you go through all that, and right at the end you have your big baddie, your big boss at the end of each level, and the boss at the end of the first level is the It's a Small World clock, who's grown arms, got a grimacing face, and he tries to hit you with stuff. And you have two things, a paint thinner and you have paint. Paint thinner gets rid of things so you can walk through them, and paint adds them so you can build them up so you might be able to use them to climb on or to walk through doors, etc. And you have to basically spray the Small World clock with the paint thinner to try and disintegrate him so he basically dies. There's places such as Mean Street, which is based on Main Street. You've got O's Town, which is based upon Toontown. You can go into a replica of Mickey's house and things like that. I think it's great for the whole family. I really enjoyed it. You know, I'm not. I think if you're a gamer, I can see where people have got problems with it. But me personally, I think it's great. I really enjoyed it, and I will certainly be playing on it till the very, very end.
Of time.
Yes. So we won't hear anything from Craig on Christmas Day because he'll be too busy getting the kids out of the way so he can play on Epic Mickey.
Too right. Yeah.
Right. Hi everyone. This is from Emma. I was just wondering. My baby will only be 6 months when we go to Disney World. What are the best rides to take little ones on? So Emma's taking a six-month-old to Walt Disney World. What are the best rides for her to take them on? Craig, what you got?
Well, everything. Also use your six-month-old baby to get lots of free fast passes on the child swap. Yes. Not that you should, but you should do that. So I think definitely things like Small World. 6 months old, they're going to be just sitting up. They're going to be hearing the colours, seeing the colours, the music. They're going to see hearing the colours, hearing the music, seeing the colours. They're going to like that. I think other things like Filler Magic, they're not going to understand because of its 3D, and they might find it dark and scary with the water. So I would stick to the very child things like Small World, Dumbo. I think would be a nice one if you're allowed to hold the little one in your seat. I'm not sure if you're allowed to or not. What else would I to go on?
Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, definitely Pooh. I wouldn't go on Snow White though, because I think, as I said before, it was scary white, and actually Peter Pan mine found quite scary when they were very, very young. So I would just, you know, stick to and enjoy it. But yeah, those sorts of things would have fun, and a nice little lunch somewhere, because you'll get loads of fuss made of your little one as well.
Okay, cheers.
I agree totally with Mr. Duncan there. The only one I'd add on to there was probably Rock and Roller Coaster. Because when they fall out on the top of the loop, they fall back in at the bottom of the loop.
There you go. What about, let's think about some of the other parks as well. One thing to think of, which is something to consider, obviously take them when they're 6 months old, go and see the characters, go and see Mickey, get a photo taken of you with your 6 months old with Mickey, and then every time you go back, have another photo, and you can see how they've grown up over the years. So we've got several photos of Harry now with Mickey to see how Harry's changed throughout the years as he's had those photos taken. But I agree with all your suggestions for Magic Kingdom. If we go into somewhere like Animal Kingdom, again, there's not a huge amount, I would say, for definite. I don't know. The only one I would sort of say possibly was Finding Nemo the musical, just purely for the fact there are so many bright colours in that, and there's the music that goes all the way through it.
The only downside with Animal Kingdom is the heat.
Yeah, that is true. It is hot. So that's sort of the only one really in Animal Kingdom I can seriously say that might be well worth seeing, other than obviously taking them to see some of the live animals and stuff like that. If we go into places like Epcot, again, we're sort of, there's not a huge amount. Maybe the Seas with Nemo and Friends, take them in there, be able to see some of the fish and see Nemo and that lot as you go through that particular attraction. And then the same with Hollywood Studios. Playhouse Disney Live on Stage, I think, has got to be a must. Again, bright colours, nice lively music. I don't know what else. I'm trying to think of anything else that would be in there. I'm just looking through my map as we speak. And there's not really much else I can think of.
Voyage of the Little Mermaid, maybe
it gets quite dark again, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Terror would be quite good. Yeah, they'd enjoy that. No, don't tell them on Terror. We're going to get sued. But they would be the ones I would think will probably be your best ones to try out. Right, there you go, Emma. Hopefully that's helpful. Okay, on to our next email. Hi, all. Thanks for such a great show. We are heading out to Walt Disney World next year for our third trip, but the first time we will be staying off-site. As we are not staying in a Disney hotel, are we allowed to use the Disney bus transportation to get to resorts from the parks? That's from John.
Yeah, anyone can use it.
Yeah, they can. I think they used to have, I don't know whether they still have that proviso, that bus transportation was for Disney resort guests. But they never check cards. They never check anything at all with regards to whether you're staying at the resort or not. So you're absolutely fine to use buses, to be honest. You're absolutely fine to use any of the water taxis, any of the monorails, anything like that. Disney transportation, really. You know, if from Disney's point of view, if you are going from a park to a resort, the chances are you're probably going there to have dinner or something like that. So, of course, they're going to make it very easy for you to get there. there, because if you don't, you're not going to spend all of your money in there. So, yeah, you're absolutely fine to use all transportation while you're there. That's a nice quick one. This one's from Sarah Jeffers. She says, hello. Is it true that if you get a fast pass in one park, you can get another from a different park before your fast pass window comes up? Thanks for your hard work. You do. It brightens up our evening meals. That's from Sarah. Is this true?
Ooh, I don't know if it is now, because they're all linked together. It used to be the case because they were all independent, but they all go to, they're all linked together now. So I'm unsure now. I would say no.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'd like to see. I mean, the wait, unless it's a fast pass for Toy Story Mania or something, you probably haven't got enough time to get to another park.
True.
To get another, because it's normally only about an hour and a half, 2 hours maybe. Mm. But try it. Somebody can try it and let us know. I think they're all linked via a single separate system.
Now, it's interesting you say that, because I actually disagree with the pair of you because of a conversation I had recently. What they do is, with your tickets, you have to obviously go into the park for your ticket to be activated for that park.
Yeah.
And that at that point, your ticket will then be able to use Fastpass machines in that park. So you can get a Fastpass for the Magic Kingdom. You could jump on the Epcot monorail, head over to Epcot, get a Fastpass for Test Track for 10 o'clock that evening, and then you could head back to Magic Kingdom and you'd still be okay to use it.
Then why didn't you say that before we started which window?
Because I wanted to see whether what your opinion was. We like to discuss these things, right?
No, not if you know the answer first.
Exactly, make us.
No, but you may be right, it may change. But from what I've spoken to somebody recently who said, yeah, you can still do it, and it's working absolutely fine. But it might have been that you'd have some different information to me. You don't know.
No, it just sounds like you just set us up for four there.
I can if you want.
Yeah.
No, I honestly didn't. Right. Last email is from Charlotte, and it says the following. Hi, Adam. Sorry to bother you. It's all right.
You're never any bother.
But I thought you may be able to answer this question for me, and I have replied to her email. The reason I have is for this exact reason, which I'll read now. My boyfriend and I have booked a trip to Disneyland Paris for Christmas week 2010 to celebrate my 18th birthday. Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
We were thinking of going to a nice table service restaurant one evening, and I was wondering if you had any suggestions that are particularly nice within the resort without breaking the bank. I was also wondering if there are any key events over the Christmas period that you would recommend in Disneyland Resort Paris. Keep up the great weather. Keep up the great work with the podcast. I look forward to each new episode every fortnight, and it's fab to have a British take on the Disney parks and hear helpful tips from people who have experienced them firsthand. That's from Charlotte. So who wants to start off on this one?
Is that Adam's pen name, do you think, Charlotte?
Yes, yeah, I reckon.
You might as well tell us what you wrote back.
Yeah, just
Charlotte.
Tell us the answer, Adam, and then we're done.
No, because my answers may be different to yours.
No, you tell us yours first.
Okay, well, I wrote back and sort of said, well, obviously, Christmas, you've got things like the Winter Wonderland, you've got the special ending to the parade, you've got the sort of the tree lighting ceremony, and you have the castle lighting ceremony that all goes on, as well as the Santa Christmas Village down in Woody's Roundup area. The suggestions I gave to her for meals, I said, if you don't want to break the bank. If you do really, really want to splash out on a really expensive but decent meal, then you've got the California Grill and the Disneyland Hotel, but that seriously is big money. The other suggestions I made were Walt's American Restaurant, which is where me and Juz ate. I suggested that you could go the possibility of the Blue Lagoon. I did say that when I last went, I wasn't overly impressed, but I'm not a massive seafood fan. So it wasn't a big one for me. The other ones I also suggested to her were the Silver Spur Steakhouse in Frontierland. And I also suggested for outside of the park for something a little bit cheaper, somewhere like a Net Diner. Which isn't very romantic, but it's certainly something that's not going to break the bank. What are your suggestions? Anything different?
Waltz would always be at the top, even though it's a bit pricey. The setting is amazing. Blue Lagoon setting is fantastic, and I like it. It's a bit, as you said, it's a bit fishy. We don't have to have fish, but the fish is fantastic. I'm with you on all of them. Not probably Annette's. I probably won't bother with that. I think probably a better one than that. Like Mackie's is a bit more romantic. I'd go into one of the resorts, whether it's Newport or the Hunter's Grill over at
Hunter's Grill Sequoia.
At Sequeakme. Over that. So to be honest, if I was going to go outside, I'd definitely try one of the resorts, because some of the resort places are lovely. Nice to walk around the resort, dead romantic to walk around the lake, and nice to have a meal there, and then you can wander back around the lake. arm in arm and just enjoy the atmosphere.
And you pick up a good point there, actually.
Because Hotel New York's got the ice rink as well, which is nice to walk past.
They have that all year now. But Sequoia Lodge is gorgeous at Christmas. They have all the lights up. You go down to the bar, they have the big open roaring fire as well. You can sit and have a drink before dinner. I didn't consider that as a possibility, but Hunter's is lovely, actually. The food's really good there. Craig, what? Any other suggestions?
Starbucks. Go and have a nice hot coffee because you'll be freezing. I would stick with the Hunters, actually. I think that's quite nice. Nice walk around the lake. Maybe, you know, just take in a few shops, have a look around, do that. That'd be me.
Of course, the other option as well is Buffalo Bill's Wild West show. But again, that's getting quite expensive.
That is. Dead romantic, that is, isn't it?
It's not romantic. It's
like a Lucky Nugget saloon.
She just said she wanted a nice table service restaurant one evening.
Wait, she's going with her boyfriend?
She's going with her boyfriend.
Well, it has to be romantic.
Her 18th birthday.
Yeah, then you need romance.
Okay, you don't want to be...
And you're in France, so, you know, that's the place for...
Yeah, okay. There we go. So hopefully that's made it clear as mud for Charlotte as to where she should
be. I think we cleared it up. I think your email was misleading.
Okay.
Charlotte. That's where you want to go.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree with that.
I didn't even suggest that one to her email. So she's probably going to book something else and I've completely blown it now. And it's all gone horribly wrong. They're all our emails. Shall we just let some people know about some of the bits and pieces that are coming up very, very soon?
Yeah, please let us know.
we've obviously got the magazines that we're currently working on. You've got the Orlando magazine, Iron Orlando magazine. How's that going?
It's going to be out in January due to other things taking priority and me nearly dying.
There we go. The Disney magazine, which we've entitled Mouse Mag, or Mouse Mags, that's going to be coming out. I'm hoping to try and get it out just before Christmas. It's very, very nearly done. But if not, that again is going to be January. They're both going to be quarterly. They're going to be sort of running January to March, etc. And then throughout the year, going to be 4 issues a year, which is going to have loads of stuff. The thing is with both magazines, they are designed to be what we're sort of calling a Disney community magazine. Rather than it being a magazine that's written by journalists or experts, things like that, we want it to be a magazine.
We want it to be written by
you guys, basically, by people who are Disney fans. And certainly Mouse Mag, and I think Iron Orlando is the same, has got pretty much 75% of the articles are written by people who are Disney fans, who have been on recent trips, who have just written about recent trips, or there's an area of Disney that they're absolutely passionate about that they wanted to write about, so they have. And that's basically the way it's designed to be. And this magazine is absolutely free. We're not charging for it in any way, in the way that it's going to be an e-magazine.
Which is unlike Adam, really. Adam believes in the Disney model.
It's going to be completely free to
But there's a shop at the end.
There's a shop. We're hoping to make Mouse Mag available in some slightly different formats as well. We want to be able to make it as a downloadable PDF, so you can have it as that as well. We're also exploring the possibility of having it as an iBook within iTunes. That will come at a small cost, somewhere around £1 or something like that, because of the cost of actually putting it on there. Again, we're not going to make anything from it. It's just the cost of how much it costs to stick it on iTunes. We're not allowed to put it on for free, and there's a minimum amount we're allowed to put it on for. So we're going to be doing that, and also looking at the possibility of you being able to actually buy a print copy of the magazine as well. That again isn't going to be cheap because it's going to be printed on an individual basis, but if you are wanting to have
it's going to take us forever with crayons and things.
Yeah, it is going to be.
Craig keeps going outside the lines when he does it.
Adam can print them all at school, it'll be all right.
Yeah, I don't want a photocopy, yeah, that'd be fine. But we are looking, hopefully, to have some print copies as well, which, like I said, aren't going to be cheap. But if you put your own article in the magazine, you want a keepsake for that one particular issue, then again, we're going to be trying to get them done. And that's, again, going to be at no profit to us whatsoever. It's just something we wanted to be able to try and do for people. Mouse Vents is something else we wanted to talk to you about as well. Mouse Vents is now on. I think as we record this, we've been going nearly, it's not far off a week. And Mouse Vents is basically a Disney audio advent calendar, of which every single day a podcaster or a musician or somebody related to the Disney community does between a 5 and 10 minute little audio snippet podcast for you to listen to. If you go to mousevents.com, you can listen to that there. We've got two little segments, certainly one coming up in the next few days, and then we've got one coming in about a week after that. We've been working quite hard on this, haven't we?
Nothing, sir. Were we? Yes.
I don't want to give away what exactly it is that we're doing, but it's certainly something that's a little bit different and something that we enjoyed and something that I think could possibly become a bit of an annual thing for us, do you not think?
Some of us enjoyed, some of us just cringed.
Oh, it's cringeworthy.
You loved it.
It's cringeworthy in many ways, but it's also just a bit of fun, and it's something that's very British as well in a way that we wanted to try. So that's going to become Mouse Fence, but you'll also be hearing that on a future edition of podcast as well. Certainly a Christmassy one. I think we're going to do just before Christmas. You're going to be able to hear about that too. So I think that's pretty much
Actually, can we just say a big round of applause for Alan, who's been arranging our Mouse Fence?
Yes.
What an awesome task, and it's turned out fantastic. So,
big round of applause for Alan.
Well done, Alan.
Bringing the community together. Well, yeah.
And we have to say a big well done to him, because actually he was always said in all the emails he sent to all the contributors, he was saying, it's our project. I don't want to have my name on there whatsoever.
Forget it, then. Forget Alan. Never mentioned him.
It was my idea. It was brilliant.
Hold on, Craig.
My idea, and I'm a PC. No, hang on. That's wrong. So we need to say a big thank you to Alan, and a big well done to Alan for putting that together and for taking some actual recognition for the hard work that he's done.
Yes, well done, mate.
Well done. Right, there we go. That is all of our emails. If you've got any other emails you want to send us, please do send them to podcast at disneybrick.com, and then we'll read those out and try and answer some of those questions as well. So thank you once again for joining me, boys.
Always a pleasure, never a chore. Hang on, always a chore, never a pleasure. That I'm saying.
Yeah, that's the one. Get the right way around. Right, thank you very much.
Right, I'm off to light my candle then.
Okay,
I'm off to watch top.
Bye.
There you go, that's the end of the show again. Thank you once again for joining us. I want to thank our sponsors, Columbus Vacation Villas. You can find them at columbus-vacation.com for all your vacation rental and your vacation management needs. Also, as always, thanks to Juz and Craig for joining me as they give us their wisdom and their insights. And of course, we are out of emails. So if you've got any more emails you want to send in so we can do another listener email show again soon, please send them to podcast@disneybrit.com, and we will certainly be answering all of those. You can also ring our voicemail numbers on 0121-288-2858 for the UK and Europe, and in the USA it's 407-545-7980. Make sure to check out our website at www.disneybrit.com, and also head over to Facebook, where you can friend up myself, Juz and Craig, as well as join our Disney Brit fan page and our Mouse Meets page and all the other bits and pieces over there. Don't forget to keep going over to mousevents.com. Mousevent.com is basically a Disney audio advent calendar that's going on through December. We will be appearing on there very, very soon. If you're listening to this show a few days after it's come out, we may have been on already, so do go over and check that out. You can, of course, leave us a review on iTunes. Thank you to those who have done that already. It really is appreciated with the reviews you leave on there. You can also visit our YouTube channel, Disney Brit Podcast. Over there, you will find all sorts of information, all sorts of videos, and also the latest video we put on there about the terrific night over at Disneyland Paris. So do make sure you go and check that out too. Remember to listen to our radio shows on Friday nights, both the Destination Disney radio show and the Iron Orlando radio show on 1410 AM Heartbeat Radio between 11 PM and 1 AM. That's 6 till 8 EST. And you can find them at heartbeatradiousa.com, and also you can find us over on destinationd.info. that also is available to download on iTunes. Please keep heading over to the forums, ionorlando.com/forum, and you can find out all the stuff that's going on over there. And that's pretty much it. Mouse mags, make sure you get your mouse mag. That's going to be coming out very soon. Hopefully we'll have some information for you on next edition of the show. And also, don't forget to check your tickets for Mouse Meets, mousemeets.co.uk. Tickets are selling well. We have a great event over there. And well, that leaves me with nothing else to say other than the next show will be on Wednesday, the 22nd of December. So until then, I'll see you.